Would you turn, please, to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15. We're going to start our reading at verse 11. Luke 15 and verse 11. And he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." We'll end our reading at that verse. Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the meeting tonight. What a joy to be here. We thank thee for those who have gathered. We thank thee for the messages and song from thy servant. We pray that there will be a hearing tonight of the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ and a responding to it. We pray that thou wilt bless the reading of thy holy word. We thank thee that thou art here in our midst, and we pray that thou wilt apply the word in its very reading to every part of us. O God, we pray especially for the preaching of that word. I ask, Lord, for thy help. I pray for help for the mind, help for the voice. And I pray, Lord, for that mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost, which is essential for the success of the Word of God in the hearts and minds and lives of all of us here. We thank thee for that great truth of the enduement with power from on high. Grant it tonight, Lord, and give grace. We thank you for those who have trusted Christ and come back to the Lord in the campaign. And now, Lord, for those who have been counting the cost, those who are giving serious thought to this all-important matter, we pray, Lord, that they'll make the right response, even in this service now. Oh, we pray that thou wilt let thy voice be heard, still us now, and from every part of us, may there be the positive, definite response to thy word that thou dost desire. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Apart from the fact that every one of us makes decisions on a regular basis concerning our living from day to day, there are times whenever special decisions have got to be made, choices made. For instance, young people come to a certain time of their life that they have to wisely make a choice concerning maybe further education, and certainly with regard to a career. Maybe they've come to that time in their life that they're going to choose a partner, a wife, a husband, with whom they will spend the rest of their life on earth. For an adult, decisions of great import arise from time to time whenever they have to decide where they're going to live, or maybe a new job is in the offing, or the prospects of a new job is in the offing, and decisions have to be made about that. There are so many critical choices to be made. But I want to talk to you tonight about one that's so vital, so crucial, a decision that every one of us has to make. And that concerns our entering into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and maintaining that relationship from day to day. I'm referring to the matter of making the choice of putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Time is going by in this gospel campaign. We're into the last part of it now. The major part of the mission is over. Things have been happening. Thank God for what's been happening in the lives of people as they're getting right with God. Things have been happening all around. We've heard mentioned tonight as the Lord's servant has reminded us of those tragedies that have happened in death not too far away from this tent over the past couple of weeks. And in order to help us tonight to make this great decision of taking Christ as our Lord and Savior, I want to draw your attention to two verses in the reading that we've just had from Luke 15. First of all, verse 18, I will arise and go to my Father. And then verse 20, and he arose and came to his Father. What a decision was made by the one we know as the prodigal son. I want you to notice three things about this decision. First of all, there is the prompting of it. What caused it? What produced it? What brought it about? Well, first of all, there was the ruin that he suffered. Oh, if you were following the reading, you will see that it all started whenever this young fellow, and I think a kind of a disrespectful, demanding manner, stepped into the Father's presence one day and he said to him, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He knew that he was in the will. He knew that money and material wealth was coming to him sometime, but he wanted it now. Why? Because he had his eye on something else. He wanted to get away from the home place. That comes out very clearly in one of those verses that we read also earlier tonight, where we are told in verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. He had his eye on that distant land, away from all the restraints and dullness and sameness of home life. I can almost see him with his belongings in hand, saying cheerio to his family, getting away as far and as fast as he could, getting into that land that he had set his sights on, knowing that he was not going to be told anymore, you must be in at a certain time each night. Mind your company. Mind the places that you go. No more would he hear that. And then if you recall our reading, that he's wasted his substance. He squandered it in riotous living. And we are told that he went from bad to worse. Whenever he lived in this excessive way, he ran out of money, plenty of friends around him. But when he ran out of money, he had no one. A famine came into that land. And let me tell you tonight, my dear friend, that everything that you count with glamour and show and sensationalism and that's gaudy and giddy in this life. There'll always be a famine with it. There'll always be, to change the metaphor, a sting in the tail. And this young man found it. And he also found that he had no friends to help him whenever the famine came. He went to look for work, couldn't even find any work. Ended up doing something that it was not proper for a Jew to do. He began to keep swine. He began to feed them. And he came to such a pass that he ended up eating the very food that the swine did eat. And the man's wallowing in the mire now, along with the pigs. No man would give unto him. The ruin that he was in prompted him to make this great decision. And I wonder tonight in this tent, in this gospel service, has there come a man, a woman, a young man, young woman, and you've come to the place tonight with an emptiness of life, and nothing seemed to be working out right for you. In fact, you're on the decline. You're on the slippery slope leading downward. And like this young man, you're headed for ruin, or maybe you've already reached that condition. Is that not reason enough to bring you to the place that you would be prepared to leave your sin and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and take Him to be your Savior and Lord? But there was another reason that prompted this, and that's not only the ruin that he had suffered, but the resources that he was aware of. He knew the home from which he had come. And we are told that there in the mire, we are told in verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" It appears that he came from a wealthy home. The father had hired servants. And this young man says, "Well, these servants of my dad's, they're well catered for. They're not in the fix that I'm in. They're not in the want that I'm experiencing. They have not made a mess of their lives. They're not in free fall. They're not ruined. They're only servants, but they're far better off than me. There's bread enough and to spare back home." And as he began to think of that, it was a factor that led him to make this great decision, "I will arise and go to my father." And as you think of your miserable circumstances, you think of the ruin to which you're headed in life if you have not already arrived, and as you think of the fact that there is a better way, that God in heaven tonight has vast resources and He's willing to make them over to you, is that not a reason for you to leave your sin and commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? What resources? Forgiveness for all your sins. Cleansing from all your sins. Peace with God, enmity removed. The peace of God to keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Life and life more abundant. The assurance that you'll be made an heir of heaven and enter into a great inheritance one day that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Is that not an incentive? Is that not enough to prompt you tonight and say, "I will rise and go to my Father"? Perhaps you're a backslider. There was a time in your life when you did come to Christ. You took Him as your Savior. You loved Him. You read the Bible and prayed. You got to the prayer meeting. You were out among God's people with regularity. You observed the Sabbath day. But a drift set in. Cheerlessness surrounded you. And tonight you're far away from God. You've coasted away. You remember what Jeremiah said, or what God said in Jeremiah, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And then he said, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and thy truth is not in you. And you could well say with the hymn writer tonight, those peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memory still, but they've left an aching void this world can never fill. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? And you're in ruin. Would you not come back to Him tonight? Because you know the resources that are available to you upon returning to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from them. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Would you not come back to Him tonight? For there's not only the prompting of this great decision. I want you to notice the particulars of it. And there are two. First of all, in making this decision, it would mean his exit from the realm of the old life of misery. If he will arise and go to his Father, he's going to be leaving the mire in which he's wallowing. He's going to be leaving the husks for food that the swine fed on. He's going to be leaving the disdain that has been accompanying the type of circumstance that he's in. He will be taking his leave of that far country with all its emptiness and futility and all its wickedness and sin. He's going to leave that. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And if this man follows through on what he says he will do, he's going to wave bye-bye to that. That's what the Bible calls repentance. Someone once said that repentance is the never again of an awakened soul. It is also being described as this repentance is to leave the sins I loved before and to show that I in earnest grieve by doing so no more. And if this man will follow through, one thing you have to observe is that he will repent and he'll forsake that far country and all that goes with it. Am I speaking to someone here tonight and you're willing to make the same decision? You're willing to arise and go to your Father? You're willing to take Christ to be your Savior? You're willing as a backslider to come back to the Lord? Don't you understand it means you've got to repent? You've got to change your mind. You've got to turn away from the sinful life. Repentance and faith go together. But repentance is an absent doctrine these days. But it is a necessity. The Lord Jesus says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. But would it not be worth it to be free forever from the ruin? To say goodbye to the old life, which has never served you at all. It has only ruined you. But this young man is going to do something else. It was not only the exit from the old life of misery. It was going to be the entrance into the new life of plenty. He already said that my Father's servants have bread enough and to spare. Think of what it would mean for him. Solid food. Something he's not experiencing now. There is no solid food in the husks that the swine were eating. There was going to be solid food. There was going to be a comfortable environment. There was going to be a warm welcome. Even though he may have said, well, my Father not receive me back as a son, but if he even makes me a servant, why, sure, servants have good fellowship among themselves. At least I'll be back home. I'll be out of this, and I'll have good, solid nourishment and company. But oh, my dear hearer, if I could only describe for you adequately this new life that is standing open before you tonight, if you will only enter into it, I believe that you would make haste to come to Christ. Let me say, it will mean your conscience will be at rest. It will mean that you will have satisfaction and contentment. One of the hymns that we've been singing in the mission is where someone looking pleasure said, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the water stilled. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wheeled. And then went on to write, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and light and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in Thee. In Thy presence there is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand pleasures forevermore. Oh, my dear friend, what awaits you tonight? Bread enough unto spare, the bread of everlasting life. The Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If we come to Him and partake, He'll give us life and He'll sustain it and maintain it. You thirsty? You longing for happiness and peace and joy? He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Listen again what he says. Are you burdened? Are you anxious? Do you long for rest? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There'll be forgiveness of sin, never to be held against you again, because as far as the east is from the west, so far will they be removed from you. They'll be buried in the depths of the sea. He'll blot them out like a thick cloud. And that conscience that's lashing you now because of your sin will be still and at rest, because Christ, by means of His precious blood and saving work, will quell it and silence its every accusation. You'll have peace. You'll have forgiveness. You'll have rest. You'll have joy. You'll have satisfaction and contentment. You'll have the companionship of the Lord Jesus Christ day by day, never to leave you nor forsake you. And at last, whenever you enter that valley of the shadow of death, you'll be able to say with David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. What an incentive tonight for getting up from the quagmire of sin and want that you're in, and saying, I will arise and go to my Father. It will mean the exit out of the old life of misery and the entrance into the new life of plenty. Far above everything else, your immortal, eternal soul will be saved, and you'll never be in condemnation. So there was the prompting of this decision and the particulars of it. I want you to notice, in the last place, the performing of it. It's one thing to make a decision. It's quite another thing to follow it through. Now notice verse 13. Whenever he was taking his leave of the father, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And now notice verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. He had nothing to gather with him this time. No belongings. The poor man had nothing. It was squandered. It was wasted. But I want you to notice, he did follow the decision through. See the action that he took in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. There's a danger to be avoided here. And the danger is that you tonight in this service may feel the touch of the Lord upon you and hear the voice of the Lord sounding in your ear and say, yes, I'm going to become a Christian. But you may say, not tonight. I know that the Christian life is the proper way to live, and I intend to become a Christian someday. But not tonight. That's the danger. To have a good intention. To say, yes, I've been in this mission quite a lot during the past 2 weeks.
And I have been moved as I have heard the word of God sung, and as I've heard the gospel of Christ preached, and I know what I should do. And yes, I believe that I will make the decision to become a Christian. It's one thing to make the decision, it's another thing to follow through on it. There's danger and tragedy and delay. I'll never forget reading in very early days of my Christian ministry about D.L. Moody. He said he was standing out in the field, around the Northfield area where he lived, whenever he was just a teenager. And this man was standing in the field, middle-aged man, and he had a hoe in his hand and he was doing some work. But Moody noticed the tears in his eyes coming down his cheeks. And he said, as a young man, "What's wrong, sir?" And the old man said to the young fellow, he said, "Dwight," he said, "never you make the mistake that I have made." And young Dwight Moody said, "Well, what mistake was that?" He says, "Son, if you ever hear the Lord calling you, you respond to him right away and you take him to be your Savior. Don't be like me." He says, "What happened to you?" And the elderly man began to tell a story. He says, "Dwight, whenever I was your age, I thought it was big of me to leave home and to seek my fortune in the city. And I remember my mother, on the night that I was leaving, she put my Bible in the case and she wrote on the flyleaf of it my name, her name, and underneath were the words, Matthew 6, verse 33, 'Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.' And she says, 'Now, son, as soon as you get there, the first Sunday that you're there in that city you're going to, you go to church to hear the word of God.'" He said, "I did do that. I went to church. And what was the minister preaching on? The very text that Mum had written on the flyleaf of the Bible." I said, "This is more than a coincidence." But he said, "I didn't do anything about it, although my mother was right and the minister who was preaching was right. But," he said, "I'll leave it to another day." He went back to church next Sunday. It was a different minister because it was holiday time. And the different minister came and preached on the very same text of Scripture. And this young fellow says, "There's something going on here." And he became concerned about himself. He said, "I should be seeing to this now." But he says, "No, I'll leave it the next week." Next week, the minister of the church came back. And when he began to preach, he preached the very same text of Scripture. And by this time, the young fellow was shaking. And that's what he told young Moody. And he said, after the service was over, I stood in the aisle thinking it. And he says, "I'll go back and talk to the minister." "No, I'll not. I'll go on out." He went out and he came back in again. But he halted. He says, "No, I'll not do anything about this. Yes, I know that I need to become a Christian, but I will get saved someday. In fact, I'll get saved whenever I get settled in business." He came to church next Sunday and there was no more feeling. He came to church a lot of Sundays. There was no more feeling. He became established in business. He became a success in business. But by this time, he was a middle-aged man. And he never had heard the call of God again like he heard on those three occasions. And he said, "Son, don't let happen to you what has happened to me." Moody says, "I couldn't really understand all that he was saying, but I knew that he was distressed." And Moody said, "I too went to the city to seek my fortune. I went to one of the large cities and I wanted to be a shoe salesman. I became a Christian happily when I was 17 years of age. My Bible class leader led me to the Lord." But he said, "I grew up and I came into full-time service. And I came home one day. I came home to visit my aged mother. And I said in the course of my visit, 'Mom, what about old Mr. So-and-so that used to live around these parts?' She says, 'Oh, son, his mind's gone. He's in an asylum.'" Moody said, "I'd like to go and see him." Mom says, "It can be quite dangerous at times." Moody went to see him. And the proprietor of the institution said, "Mr. Moody, we're very glad that you've come, but we don't think you'll get much conversation out of this man. We have to keep a very close eye on him. His mind has all but gone. He's deranged." Moody says, "I'd like to see him." And as soon as Moody was brought into the room where the man was being kept, the man was crouched in the corner when he saw Moody. And there was a glare from his eyes. And before Moody could open his mouth, the man said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And Moody said, "That was the first thing that he said to me." I tried to pacify him. I sat down, tried to talk with him, got him quiet a little, began to read the Bible, talked to him about the Lord Jesus, and all he could say was the words of that text in Matthew 6 and 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I could get no other sense out of him that day. That's because, my friend, that man, when he was young, had made the decision to become a Christian. At a later time, he was not willing to follow through with what he knew to be right. This man saw the danger to be avoided, and there was the determination to be applied. He got up, the Bible says in verse 20, he arose and came to his father. Oh, he might have said, "Will my father even take me in? I have committed great wrong against him. I have sinned against God. I'm not even worthy to be called a son again. If he'll only make me a hired servant, that's what I'll be content with." He might have had fears, but he made his way back. Little did he know, the father was out looking for him. In fact, the Bible says, when this man was a great way off, the father was out looking for him. And do you know tonight that even though you've been a great way off from the Lord Jesus Christ, he has been out looking for you. He has been out looking for you in the hearts and minds of the minister and elders of this church that's organizing this campaign. He's been out looking for you in the prayers of those people who plead with God with great passion night by night in the prayer meeting that precedes the service. He's been out looking for you as the Word of God has been preached here night by night. And you need not be afraid that he'll turn you away. "Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Will you come?" When the old man saw him, oh, notice what happens in verse 20. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, the embrace, the reconciliation. No words needed to be said. The young fellow started off in verse 21. "I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." He never got finishing what he was intending to say. He was going to say, "Make me as one of thy hired servants." He never got saying it. The father said to the servants, "Go and get a robe for him. Get the ring on his hand. He's a family member. Get the shoes on his feet. And oh, get that fatted calf killed. We are going to have a feast here tonight." And as that young man came back, he found a welcome that he never could have imagined in his wildest dreams. "I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. For cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed in Calvary." Would you not make the response tonight? "I am coming, Lord. Coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed in Calvary." And my dear friend, think of that. It's because of what the Lord Jesus did on the cross at Calvary that the grounds are prepared for him to receive you. He bids you come to him. He wants you to come now. Doesn't want you to leave it to tomorrow night, or maybe the last night of the mission, or maybe when you're a bit older, or circumstances are more favorable. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It is time to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. All the work is done. The Lord Jesus Christ has made the provision. He has spread the table. The bounty has been procured. It's available to you tonight. And all you've got to do is to leave your sin and put your faith in him. Come to him now. Be like this young man. Not only say, I will arise and go to my Father. Oh, by all means, say it. But don't stop there. I will arise and go to my Father. Arise now and come to him as he calls you in the gospel.